Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
Now, and he is going to be answering the phones and twiddling the dials. So if you want to join us on the air, the number as always is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And we're going to start right at the top, as we normally do, with the financial news here. Because I was watching the Dow Industrials earlier today. You know, a lot of people were really focusing on this Monday situation, because we had, last week was a really wild ride. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we had these huge, huge surges in the Dow. And on Wednesday, sort of just a little bit in the green. And Friday, just a little bit in the green. But on the basis of those 4 days, we had the corporate media, their financial whizzes were saying, that's it, it's over, you know, we've rebounded, the economy's heading back up, we're through the worst of it. And even Bernanke went out and said, we have avoided the Great Depression, you know, we've stopped it in its tracks, now we got to get things running again, but the worst has passed us, and all these wonderful prognostications. And over the weekend, I was looking in my mail and noticing that I'm still getting these solicitations for new credit cards all the time. And I was watching TV with my lovely wife, Claire, and we were watching the commercials, and we're seeing commercials for Visa and commercials for these other credit card companies. And all of a sudden it hits me. There's no credit crunch, because they wouldn't be advertising for new people to get credit cards if there was a shortage of money to loan. They've got money to loan. The problem is nobody's borrowing. And remember, under our system of economics, if nobody's borrowing money, then the Federal Reserve can't create new money. A lot of what this bailout that we have seen over the last several months is the U.S. government borrowing for us. We're still going to have to pay it back, but we no longer have the choice of whether we're going to do it or not. Americans stopped borrowing, they stopped spending, so the government says, well, we'll just step in and do it for them. And they did, to the tune of an estimated $11 trillion. And we'll all have to pay that back someday. But now Bernanke's acting like, you know, hey, he's the big hero because he saved us from the Great Depression. I'm not sure that it is time to start celebrating that we're through the worst. The Dow today started high, about 100 points, was kind of high through most of the day. And then about just after lunch, it just started down and down and down and down. And talk about being saved by the bell. Because at the closing bell, it had gone into the red by about 7, which is not a big deal, because 7, that's noise factor. But if you look at that chart for the day, it's very obvious that the closing bell interrupted a major, major downturn. So we'll see what's going to happen tomorrow. I would love for this economy to be on its way back up again. I would love for jobs to be coming back to the United States that were sent to these other countries. I would love all of this stuff to be happening. I don't trust the government when it says everything is fine, go forth and spend. Not after the record we've had here. And I don't think Bernanke really believes we've avoided the depression. He's just trying to cheer everybody up so that we will once again go out and max out the credit cards and borrow money to spend from the banks, thereby indenturing us to the bankers for the rest of our lives. So that's what's happening there. Sounds like famous last words, to be very, very honest. Now, right now, everybody is doing this huge thing about the AIG bailouts. And there is no question in my mind that a corporation that is having to take all of these billions of dollars from the American taxpayer shouldn't be rewarding the executives who, after all, are a main reason this company is in such trouble. Somebody made a very bad decision to invest in these derivatives, knowing ahead of time what high-risk ventures they were. But only in corporate America is abject failure rewarded with billions of dollars of bonuses, or if you really mess up, like destroying 3 companies in a row, you get to be president, like George Bush Jr. did. Now we're hearing, they're talking about this $150 million in bonuses going to AIG. We're starting to hear that it's actually much more. It's $450 million, half a billion in bonuses to go to the AIG executives. And AIG is saying, well, we're legally obligated to pay the bonuses because it was contractually agreed to and so forth. And so I always thought bonuses were based on performance, that you only got the bonus if you did good, which these guys didn't. Why are they contractually being guaranteed bonuses even when they don't perform? That's what I want to know. And secondarily, if AIG hadn't gotten the bailout, how would they have handled the bonus situation then? Isn't there a force majeure clause in the contract saying if we're not making money, you don't get the bonuses? And I'm sorry, getting a free handout of billions of dollars from the taxpayers, that's not performing. That's a company that's crippled. And it's on life support. So they're making a really big issue about this. And Barack Obama is up there saying how much he's choked with anger. He's choked with anger over this whole situation. And I stepped back and I thought about this very carefully. And you know something? Push comes to shove. I really don't care if the AIG executives get their bonuses or not. Okay? I'd like to be getting that kind of money. Not going to happen. And I really don't care because that is far and away on the other side of the country. What I do care about is getting back those high-paying manufacturing jobs for Americans that were sent overseas because of the tax laws. And yes, Obama says he's closing the tax loophole that lures these jobs to other countries. But I haven't seen him do anything to lure the jobs back, and that's what would really help. See, the problem with all this bailout stuff, the money's going to the wrong place. They're taking money from the poor and giving it to the rich. And the part of the economy that collapsed, that led to collapse, the initiating event, was the working class when the jobs got taken away. So if you want to fix the economy, bring the jobs back from the other countries. Put out high-paying manufacturing jobs making products that sell, and put America back to work making products that sell. Not filling in holes in the road doesn't really count. Because we, the people, we don't want a handout. We don't want welfare. We don't want charity. We don't want food stamps. What we want is what we had before. And we're wondering, why did the government mess with a system that was working? In fact, that almost seems to be their pattern. They'll take something that's actually working, and then they'll decide they've got to get involved, and then it just gets totally screwed up. So what we want, first of all, my biggest bitch about President Barack Obama, he has won the election, and he is still out there campaigning. Every day, another speech someplace else. I'm tired of listening to the man. I'm tired of hearing about hope and challenge, and swiftly this, and boldly that, and bold swiftness here, and swift boldness over there. The man, it's time for the man to do the job we hired him to do. And if he's not going to do it, let's fire him. Because standing up there talking about how choked he is, you know what it reminds me of is back when Bill Clinton was going on and said, I feel your pain. I feel your pain when you're starving and you're losing your money. And meanwhile, he and his buddies are just loading up on savings and loan loot from Madison Guarantee and Madison Savings and Morgan Guarantee and, you know, ripping off their own customers and purchasers at Flowerwood and Castle Grande and Whitewater and all those other real estate developments with incredibly usurious deals. Clinton used to get up there and say, I feel your pain. And this thing about Obama, I'm choked with anger. Sounds, it's more of the same thing. He doesn't really care. He's not really doing anything. He just wants to make sure he goes on looking good to the American people. And we're not falling for it because we've seen it all before. We're becoming a very results-oriented nation. Okay? You talked the talk during the campaign season. Now it's time to walk the walk. And so far, Obama is not delivering. In fact, he seems to be doing everything pretty much the wrong way, because I haven't seen him do anything that is consistent with the long-term recovery of the United States economy. He and his buddies are just borrowing money on your ticket and giving it to the people who caused the problem in the first place. And now they're complaining because, hey, they're divvying up the loot with each other over the bonuses. And they're going to make a big issue about this so that AIG takes the heat, when in reality, it was the federal government that created the mess in the first place. We're going to take a break here. If you want to join us on the air, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Donovan is in the control room answering your phone calls, and we will be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We've got a caller on the line. We've got Ben calling from Texas. Aloha, Ben. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Michael. I was calling about the AIG bonuses. You know, I always get suspicious when things just don't add up, and I know that businessmen are forever greedy, and I know you don't necessarily subscribe to the idea that this entire economic meltdown has been pre-planned like some people, but when I hear that they're giving the bonuses to the very people who created the credit default swaps and how instrumental those were in AIG, particularly in this entire economic meltdown, and how this economic meltdown plays in long-term with New World Order plans, I just wonder if these guys are getting a bonus for a job well done, even though they brought AIG to its knees. AIG recently, I guess it left the hands of Hank Greenberg and was being run by someone else, and I just wonder, I mean, these bonuses can't be coming from the board. I just wonder if this wasn't all by design.
Well, I know there are a lot of people who think that. Alex Jones is one of them, whereas I tend to think accident, stupidity, and mostly greed determine the future course of events. As far as the bonuses, I think it's kind of a little club. Once you're an executive, you're in the club, and the idea is that they're going to okay the huge bonuses going to you no matter how badly you screw up, because that means the next time around you'll approve the bonuses going to them no matter how badly they screw up. And I think that's a big part of what we're seeing. But it's still, the point is, we here out in the real world, we are supposed to live with a meritocracy in that we only get paid when we do really well. But, you know, with the higher levels of our government and our corporate leadership, the rules are definitely changed. If you mess up, you still get the money, you still get the yacht, you still get the perks. And it just seems to be the way our two-tiered society actually works. And again, I know there are some people who are exploiting the current economic upset for their own advantage. I mean, what was that Rahm Emanuel said? Never let a good crisis go to waste. And I understand that there are politicians who play that way. But again, I'm not 100% convinced that the economic takedown was deliberate to this extent. I think there are a lot of people who are looting the system for all that they can, but that's kind of a given constant anyway.
Well, if you consider to the extent that all this was built on the housing bubble, you know, that was an inflationary bubble designed by the Federal Reserve, one of, you know, many in their history that they've set up. And I just wonder how these guys at AIG could have ever gotten the job if they were paying these credit default swaps that they knew they couldn't possibly cover. And if we understand the way bubbles work, how could they not understand? It just, to me, anytime incompetence is used as an excuse, i.e. 9/11 or things like that, I always wonder if there's not a more sinister explanation, but I suppose greed could explain it.
Yeah, it really could. And basically, in a nutshell, the real estate bubble, I think that came about, and there was pressure on that to run up real estate values, because as long as real estate values were increasing, there was all this instant equity that was being created out of thin air that people could then borrow against to sustain their lifestyles. Even though we've known for going back 30 years that we were losing our manufacturing capacity, we were losing our ability to produce products that other countries wanted to buy. We were on this course for a very, very long time, but every administration is only thinking in terms of the next 4 or the next 8 years. And again, going back 30 years, everybody said, well, you know, we'll just make it look good now, and it's the next administration's problem to solve with. And I think one of the reasons we're in this mess right now is so many politicians or executives figure, I'm only here for the next 3 to 5 years, and then I'm going to retire, and so the long-term problems aren't mine to solve. I just got to make the stockholders happy for the next stockholders meeting. And there's sort of a hardwired short-sightedness into our current political and economic system. And I think that's really why we're here, because these AIG executives, when they first got into the credit default swaps, they were making money with them. And they were getting their bonuses based on that money. And everybody expected the good times to go on forever. That's how bubbles get out of control, because real estate values kept going up. And then all of a sudden, because we lost our high-paying manufacturing jobs, mortgage payments got missed, and it all started unraveling, as all bubbles do. But the initiating event was the change in the tax laws that made it attractive for corporations to ship high-paying American jobs to other countries. That was the first event in the cascade that has brought the whole economy down.
All right, well, I'll appreciate that. I'll listen off air.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call, Ben. We're going to switch over to Drew in California. Aloha, Drew. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
How are we doing, Mike? You know,
we're doing.
I keep hearing, you know, this, you know, Obama's out giving speeches. I wonder if that's all he knows how to do is campaign, given that he did less than one full term in the state Senate, started campaigning almost immediately for the U.S. Senate, started campaigning immediately almost for the president. I wonder if he actually knows how to do a job. I mean, he even missed when he was a senator. He missed most of his time to campaign.
Well, that's a very valid question right now because, you know, and in theory, the president isn't supposed to do everything himself. His job is to make decisions among the best options presented by his staff. But you know, Obama got elected. He brought in a staff that's the half of them are Israeli dual nationals, and the other half are holdovers from the Bill Clinton administration. And you're right. All Obama seems to know how to do is stand in front of the camera, look good, and speak well, and try and inspire people. But we're already inspired. Now we're ready to do something.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see that we've actually heard more from our current president than the last 8 years of Bush. I think he's given more speeches in the last 3 weeks than Bush ever did.
I don't see that as a positive, though. You know,
yeah.
I want him back in the office doing the job we're paying him to do.
Well, yeah, exactly. It scares me to think that and of course it's he's only as good as his advisors and the information they give him. But it's kind of frightening to think of how little his advisors understand the situation. The people who are supposed to have all the information for him.
Well, I think they understand it quite well. I think they just can't come up with a way to fix it. I think the bottom line is that the economy has been painted into a corner. I know what would fix it, but nobody's got the political will to do it. And that is that we stop going around the world killing brown people. Okay, we gut the Defense Department, we cut federal taxes by half, and the economy will recover.
Well,
that will fix it.
The other significant factor is to demonstrate this whole thing, that, you know, the whole central idea of his campaign, his change, his respect for the rule of law. The public wants to see the law enforced on everybody, and it's not, you know, this bogus mentality that we got when Ford pardoned Nixon, that, well, we just, you know, we couldn't stand the embarrassment of a president, you know, in prison. Nothing.
I wouldn't find that embarrassing at all. I'd find it quite reassuring. You know, I'm ready to buy the popcorn and watch the trials.
Yeah, nothing in the world would show the American people and the rest of the planet that in America, the rule of law applies to everyone more than seeing a president in prison or even worse, if necessary, at the end of a hangman's noose.
Well, I'll settle for jail cell with a good coating of tar and feathers. We got to take a break here, Drew. We're going to let you go. Thank you very much for the phone call. When we come back from the next break, we're going to pick up Jason in Texas and more of your phone calls after that. So 800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on.
And aloha, America, and the panic's definitely on. The phone lines are just loaded up this afternoon. We're going to go to Jason in Texas. Aloha, Jason. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mr. Rivera?
I'm doing fine. What's on your mind today?
I just had one of the future comments or your opinions on two articles I saw in the Wall Street Journal today. One was regarding NAFTA and how a temporary deal to let Mexican truckers drive their products up through the United States had ceased, and that the Mexican government was now enacting, I believe it was 90 different product categories for tariffs on these categories until they let their truckers run back to the United States. And the White House's position on that is they wanted to cut a deal with Congress to make that happen.
Well, it's just more of, you know, we're seeing this agenda where the globalists want to take down the national borders, and more prudent individuals are saying those borders are there for a reason. And, especially now with so much trouble down in Mexico, and there's a lot of concern about the civil war down there spilling over the border into the United States. And our government's already getting very nervous that we, the American people, are getting all kinds of bad ideas from all these protesters in Iceland and Greece and now in Mexico. So, you know, there's kind of a faction war going on there. The bottom line is, I don't think the United States really wants to be part of Mexico. And I'm not sure that Canada really wants to be part of the United States at the moment, to judge by some of the reader email I'm getting. We grew up paying taxes and supporting the United States of America. And I think a lot of people are very resistant to the idea that we should just drop all the borders and create this whole new nation with all these other people purely to make things better for businessmen who have screwed up this country. And let's face it, globalism is the reason why the downturn in the United States has dragged the rest of the world down with it. More globalism isn't going to fix it. It's like saying we can save the Titanic if we back up and hit that iceberg a second time, maybe on the other side, and we can keep the ship floating. That's the thinking that is going on with this whole idea of more globalism and NAFTA. And I understand the reason, you know, NAFTA was the supposed first step toward a North American union that could rival Europe's union in economic strength. But the bottom line is, economy is only as strong as the working people who provide the labor that leads to capital. And our government over the last 8 years just cut the legs out from under the working class. And that's why our economy is in trouble.
They took away enough of our jobs. I mean, they took away so many manufacturing jobs. Now they want to take away the service jobs by running the trucking and transportation industry. I mean, what, are they going to come up and wait tables during the day now, too?
Well, from the point of view of the government, I don't think they really care. They're just going to do what is best for their bottom line, and it's up to you and me to figure out how to work within the system they've set up. I think we're reaching the point where Americans are saying, wait a minute, I'm tired of running around in this little wire cage you guys have created. And, you know, I'm going to start taking steps to make my life better, and I don't care if it's good for your bottom line or not.
Well, along the lines of the global government, I also saw another article in the Wall Street Journal today regarding how the White House administration wants to give more authority and power to the Federal Reserve to take control of the banks so we don't have these economic booms and busts again, like they're going to fix it this time.
No, they're not going to fix it this time. I mean, the Federal Reserve, they have taken it upon themselves to be loaning out trillions of dollars to distressed companies. They won't even tell us who's getting the loans or what collateral they're taking. And remember, the Federal Reserve is not using their own money. Everything they put out represents a loan to the American people that has to be paid back somehow by the taxpayers down the road. Even when they print up the money and they give it to a giant corporation, it's the American people who ultimately must redeem those paper dollars.
Yeah, this article almost knocked me out of my chair. I was stunned when I saw it. Give more power and authority to the Federal Reserve to oversee the banks, and also it said to take over failing banks.
But see, that's supposed to be the Treasury's job.
Exactly. It's supposed to be inside of the Congress, inside of our government, but they just want to keep dishing out more and more privileges to the guys who broke it up in the first place.
Yeah, and the Federal Reserve is not a federal agency. It's a private company. It's a privately owned bank. They just took the name federal to make it sound like it was official, but it's really no more federal than Federal Express.
You are so right, so right.
All right,
thanks.
You got it, Jason. We're going to let you go here. We're going to switch over to Bill in Texas. Aloha, Bill. What's on your mind today?
I don't know if that kind of explains it. Back in 68 through 71, I worked the high school kitchen. I had to have a health certificate.
Yes.
Then in college for 4 years, I had to have a health certificate. And I was in some of those jobs, I just washed dishes, and I had to have a health certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Then got rid of all that, and I was just curious, when and why did they get rid of all those health requirements for handling food and, you know, for public safety?
You know, I'm really not sure. I haven't looked into it. I suspect that probably there was a segment of the working public, to put it delicately, that was very afraid to go get those health certifications or leave a paper trail. and that basically excluded them from those jobs. And if they're the only people willing to take those jobs, that may have created a crisis. So I'm going to speculate here, and this is a speculation, but I'm going to speculate that it had to do with the people who are supporting the illegal immigrants' presence in this country and presence in the workforce. And that the abandonment of these public safety issues was really done just to make it easier for companies to go on employing illegal aliens into some of these service jobs. I know that here in Hawaii, when I was going to teach, I had to go get a TB test and get all kinds of clearances and screenings to make sure that I wasn't going to infect the little kiddies.
Well, what got me thinking about this is a friend of mine works as a nurse here in Texas. And he was telling me how they're seeing all these diseases they haven't seen for years at the hospital. And that just, you know, got me thinking, when, you know, I used to have to take these tests. Anyway, but that's all I had, and I enjoy your show, and thank you for your input.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, the other thing to consider is as the states and local communities' budgets are tightened, you know, these are the programs that are going to get cut first. And, you know, that's just the reality. It's like we've seen the maintenance on the roads has been deferred all these years, and we're seeing all these safety and health programs. I mean, look at the way the levees were abandoned, or the bridge inspections leading to the bridge collapse up there in Minnesota. The dry brush clearing programs were cut back because of lack of money, which is why we had the wildfires in California. The entire nation is being neglected in terms of the things that keep the American people healthy and safe and productive. That's all been let go in our rush to keep shoving billions and billions of dollars to Israel every year. I mean, right now, one out of every 50 American children will spend at least one night sleeping on the streets of America this year. Probably more. But that's the statistic right now. And yet, we've got Barack Obama yesterday saying that he will make sure that the world economic turndown does not affect Israel's military donations from the United States. How warm and charming that makes me feel here. So we're going to switch over here now to Paula in Texas. A lot of callers from Texas today. Aloha, Paula. What's on your mind today?
Hello. I just wanted to... You covered everything, and you hit it quite well as far as... Obama and the money and how it's being handled by the Federal Reserve Bank, and I really appreciate what you had to say. I do think that our government needs to come back to reality. I see it right now as a pyramid where all the people are at the bottom, and the leadership's at the top. They're supposed to be the servants of the people, and mm-hmm. I think we need to flip the pyramid and put the leaders back as the servants of the people, where the people are in control once again.
Well, that's what revolution does.
Yeah, well...
it revolves. Yes.
Yes, we really need to flatten out the organization. We saw it in the corporations where they got rid of the middle management. They call it flattening the corporation. We have too many chiefs and not enough Indians. But the other thing is, I got an email. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but unfortunately, I don't have the email in front of me because I'm in my car, but... there was something saying that it was pretty far-fetched, but that Obama had signed some kind of paper with China using our land and our businesses as collateral in case we default.
Okay, Paula, I'm going to ask you to pause here, and I know you're in your car. Stick with me because I want to address this issue, but we got to take a break for a commercial. So hang on to the phone. We'll get back to this as soon as we come back from these words from our sponsors. And Aloha America, that music-only bumper always catches me off guard. I keep waiting for Mr. Announcer Guy to say something really profound, and they always sneak up on that. All right, we're on the phone here with Paula down in Texas. Paula, I know the email that you're talking about, it was going around trying to claim that Barack Obama and had signed a deal with China, basically giving them the right of civil forfeiture to come in and recover property in the event the U.S. fails to pay off its debts to China. And the idea was, by I think, giving them the right of eminent domain. And the idea was that this would encourage China to go on buying our debt at a time when they're beginning to have second doubts about whether they'll ever be paid off. Now, I'm not sure that this email is accurate, because what eminent domain conveys is a right to force the owner of the land to sell the property at a fair market value. It doesn't just turn the land over to whoever is saying eminent domain. Now, obviously, the land may wind up being sold for far less than the person who owns it wanted to sell it for, but it's not just taking it for free. So I don't think eminent domain has a rightful place in this discussion. Now, that being said, it is known that the U.S. government has been using public lands as collateral for their loans going back to the Nixon administration. So, they've been concealing it with all of these environmental programs, whether they call it heritage rivers or wilderness zones or roadless areas or wetlands or all these other names that they have to kind of break it up and keep it looking small. But if you take all these programs and put it together, so far it is a huge chunk of public lands. All of it is pledged as collateral on the loans that the United States government owns to other countries. So what probably more than likely happened is that they went over to China and they made some kind of a deal for more of the public lands and public resources and public assets that are still under the control of the U.S. government. I don't know how far they would get pledging property rights to the privately held land, because I think most private homeowners would probably open fire when the Chinese showed up and said, we now own that home, because the U.S. government says so. So I don't know that private homes are necessarily involved in this. I really don't know what is in that agreement, but I would tend to think it's just a continuation of the policy that we've had since the Nixon years.
Well, I really hate to see this, because I believe that we need more transparency in our government, and I think that most people would agree that this is the kind of thing that most people who work 40-hour weeks at a job don't really have time to look into, and people like you and Alex Jones and Catherine Albrecht are doing a marvelous job. But I think it's time for the American people to also get involved and at least listen up and support you people in, you know, what you're trying to do. And I have to be honest, I pray all the time that the hidden things in our government are exposed. And it seems like a lot of things are getting exposed,
mm-hmm.
and things that need to go away. And this disturbs me greatly, because we can't go and buy land in China. We can't buy land in Mexico. We can't go show up in Saudi Arabia and buy land in Saudi Arabia. And it does not make sense for us to be selling our land to any foreigners. And I've called in about this very issue once before. I don't know. You have so many callers, you probably don't remember. But I was talking about the land being sold along I-35.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah. And so my whole question was, everybody in Texas needs to know, because they just would not believe what's going on here, and people need to wake up, because there's nothing to stop them should they want to roll their tanks up 35. And if you suddenly wake up one day and they own all the land up and down I-35, you'd have a hard time stopping anybody. But I just wanted to point that out. I felt like this email was a little far-fetched, and I just wanted to get your take on it
I think it may have been a little sensationalist, but in point of fact, yes, our public lands have been pledged as collateral on the U.S. Mm-hmm. government debt. As far as tanks coming up I-90, you know, once the tanks start rolling, armies have a notorious habit of ignoring property lines, and I think the American people would probably create a rather formidable defense to Chinese tanks coming in from Mexico. I don't think it's going to happen anyway. I think, yeah, they might try and buy up the place. But again, you're right. We do need more transparency, because we don't know what they're doing. I mean, even this new copyright anti-counterfeiting treaty is being kept from the American people by Barack
Thank
Obama
you.
Saying it threatens national security, even Thank though you. Everybody else in the world gets to read it.
Yeah, this is all silliness. I mean, what I see going on in our government is more infantile than kindergartners, okay? You know,
mm-hmm.
money disappearing when they're printing it. All of a sudden, I don't remember how much it was, $2 trillion and nobody knows where it went. I don't know if you read that article or not.
You're talking about from the Pentagon. Donald Rumsfeld announced that on September 10th, 2001. Should have been the financial scandal of the century, but, of course, 24 hours later, we had airplanes crashing into buildings, and by golly, the story just went away.
Oh, okay. Now, that even puts a new twist on it for me, because I did not know it was right before 911.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it looks very suspicious to me. Don't you think so?
Oh, I got one even better for you. You know that airplane that hit the Pentagon and it flew around the other side to come in from a certain direction? It hit the offices where the auditors were working trying to find where that money had gone to.
Oh, how convenient.
Yeah, you think about that one for a while.
Right. Well, that's pretty much all I had to say is this email, I don't really jump at every email that comes along because there have been some that were flat out wrong and some people like to stir up scandal. And I just like the truth and I would like to see more transparency in our government. I would like to see this pyramid flipped over where the public servants are at the bottom where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that other people will kind of wake up and start getting involved in local groups. It does help at the grassroots to get involved in, here in Austin, there's a 511 group that's working on government, you know, getting hidden things out of the government, stuff like that. So I know the other states, maybe ahead of Texas, I don't know, New Hampshire seems to have that freedom.
Well, they all seem to be getting angry together at the same time, which is really the way it should work. I mean, we've got several sovereignty movements here in Hawaii. I know they've got a couple in California. I think there's at least five in Texas. There's one in Arizona, two in Alaska. You know, a lot of people are getting very, very unhappy with the federal government the way it is, and they're saying, we need to go back to the system that worked. We need to go back to what we had, you know, before 1913, even indeed before the Civil War, which is what gave us this huge central federal government. We need to go back to the system that really did work for the people, and we need to get there very, very quick.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate all the work you're doing.
You got it. Thanks an awful lot there, Paul, and thank you for all the calls. A lot of calls today, and I love it. I appreciate it. It always makes for a better show. For me, at least, I assume that you, the listeners, enjoy the calls as much as I do because it opens up what we're talking about. We get a much broader range of subjects to talk about there. Now, we already talked about the homeless children. I brought that up already. Okay, over the weekend, we were talking about all these shooting incidents that happened last week and how the gun grabbers were just going totally nutso and guns are bad, guns are bad, guns are bad. And I posed the question regarding the German school shooter. And I said, I wonder, because it was so much like Columbine, including phony messages on the internet saying, I'm going to go down and shoot all those people who never take me seriously. I said, I'm wondering if this guy in Germany was on antidepressants, because there's such a long history of antidepressants being linked to these sudden impulse suicides, sudden impulse shootings, other crimes of passion, just completely out of the blue. Okay, the newspaper in Scotland has confirmed, okay, that this this guy who went on a shooting rampage in Germany, he was under treatment for depression. He was taking medication for depression. He was on antidepressants. So if you look at all of these shooting incidents, yes, most of them had guns. Some didn't. Some involved fire. Some involved baseball bats, so forth and so on. The suicides involved ropes and gas and poisons and whatnot. But the common factor in all of them are the antidepressants. The guns are being scapegoated to protect the profits of the pharmaceutical corporations that are making and selling these antidepressants. They've even got the school districts forcing them on the kids, even sometimes against the parents' wishes. Oh, the kid's misbehaving. Give him a pill. And it's all paid for by tax dollars. It is a source of billions and dollars of revenue for these companies that are making the medication. And we are beginning to find out that these medications cause more harm than good. But we can't say anything against them because that might affect the profits and we could get sued for libel. Well, I'm feeling reckless, so I'm going to say, yeah, the antidepressants are a problem. We need to be looking at those. That's it for our show today. We're going to be back tomorrow. It'll be St. Patrick's Day. So we're going to be doing something Irish for the show. So until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, drive very carefully, watch your stock portfolio, and aloha, America.